says, when everybody's there, tell me amen. Jesus, that's right. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we're going to look a little bit at the word go. Now, go implies that this is an action word, right? Go means movement, means be ready, on your mark, get set, go. So we're ready. Go has really been a theme in my life. God has sent me many places, and I have had many missions or job descriptions, if you will. I started in Ohio. That's where I was born, in Ohio. And my parents were divorced when I was 4 years old, and both of them struggled with alcohol and addictions, relationship problems, and so they married multiple times. I think many of you know my testimony here. And that meant that we moved around a lot. We spent time in Pennsylvania, well, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Florida. We just kind of bounced around with all the instability. Almost 38 years ago, I met a man named Tom Price. Well, he was a young man then, and I was a young girl. And he was my high school sweetheart. So Tom is with me today. There's my husband, Tom. He might give you all a wave. And Tom joined the Army. Yep, we were teenage parents, and we were raising our teenage daughter and quickly seeing, like, we're going to need to do a little more in life. And so Tom joined the Army, and the Army began to send us around the world. We lived in Kentucky, Missouri. We spent two tours in Germany, and we were going lots of places. In 1990, we lived in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. That's where the Army had sent us to. Anybody ever been there? Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, a.k.a. Fort Lost in the Woods? It doesn't look like that anymore. Tom and I went back a couple of years ago for our 36th anniversary, maybe, and it's really built up quite a bit. Anyway, he went in 1990 to serve in the Gulf War, and that was the point where Tom and I realized we could not go any further without God. We had been living our lives in our own strength, in our own power, trying to do things in our own way, and this was way bigger than anything we could ever handle or control. And so both of us repented in 1991 of our sins, and we asked God to come into our lives to forgive us and to be in charge of our lives, to be the Lord of our lives. It was really then that the Great Commission began to make sense to us. All of the going, all of the sending, all of the life that we had being God's plan and His will for us, that He was the one who directs our paths. So 23 years ago, God sent us here to Chapman, Kansas, for Tom to finish out his military career at Fort Riley. And we lived in Chapman, Kansas, until the tornado sent us to Abilene in 2008. We got hit by that tornado. I'm sure many of you remember it and had family members that experienced that time. And we did lose our home. And I was working here at the hospital. Carol was one of our volunteers over there and was working at the hospital. And we decided it would be smart to move over here to Abilene. Our children had grown and graduated from school. We do have a daughter and a son who are both now grown and married to wonderful people, and they're raising our five precious grandchildren. Oh, is grandparenting the best? At this point in my life, I say it's the best. So that's just a little bit about me and my goings. But let's look at the assignment from the scripture today. What was the reason God says to go? To spread the gospel, to make disciples, to teach others to follow all that He had commanded us, right? So as I said, the last time I was here, I was the executive director of the Pregnancy Service Center, and I completed that assignment almost 6 years ago. that was the same, seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? And it's just like my grandmother always told me, time really does fly. And I used to think, no, it doesn't, Grandma. I'm never going to grow up. Maybe I haven't yet, but anyway. So because of my time at the Pregnancy Service Center and speaking at different churches and speaking at different organizations, I became what's known as the face of the Pregnancy Service Center. Many people seen me, and they automatically thought Pregnancy Service Center. Today it happened. A few of you I've seen, except for Carol, who remembers me in the role of the volunteer coordinator at the hospital. But many of you automatically thought, oh, Pregnancy Service Center. So naturally, when I left that position, many people that I would run into in the community would say, oh, well, what are you up to now? What are you doing now in life? And, you know, that was a hard question for me to answer. It was troubling to me because I thought, I don't know how to answer your question because I had lost my title. I wasn't the executive director at the Pregnancy Service Center anymore. So how did I answer that question? And, you know, I love that we were praying or singing the song about seeking God. Jeremiah 29:13 is one of my very favorite verses because God promises, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. So whenever I have those troubling things in my spirit and I don't know, I'm doubting, I'm questioning, I go before God and I say, you know, God, what is the answer to that question? Well, I felt like I had no purpose. Have you ever been there? Feel like you have no purpose. Like, what is my purpose here on this earth anyway? Seeing all of the goings and all of the goings and all of the changes and all of the aging in life, sometimes we feel like we lose our purpose. But that's not really true, according to our scripture today. Seeking purpose is really fueled by a longing for our identity. To know, who am I? That's what the first question that needs to be answered. Again, when we look at the passage from today in Matthew, the Great Commission is given to Christ followers. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, in the work that he did on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, then you are a Christ follower. It's imperative that we know who we are before we can really embrace the Great Commission. The world tries to convince us that what we do is who we are, right? Okay, for instance, when you meet someone, you say, well, hi, my name is Tina. And that person might tell you their name. And you say, well, hi, Susie, it's nice to meet you. What do you do? Is that right? Is that what a normal conversation introductory looks like? And then if they say, well, I'm a doctor, you think, oh, a doctor? Well, you must care for others' well-being. Or they might say, I'm a teacher. Oh, you must be smart. You're a teacher. Oh, how about this? I'm a stay-at-home mom. Well, you think, oh, you must really like kids, and you must like to clean. Stay-at-home mom. Okay, a mechanic. Well, you must know how to keep things going. See how we're making these assumptions of who that person is? A carpenter. Oh, you must be able to build things. A cook. Ooh, yummy. You must make delicious food. Or you work at a radio station? Oh, you must talk a lot, which is true. And then there was the title of executive director. Oh, you must be important. You see how we just draw those natural assumptions? You kind of get the idea what I'm talking about here, right? So after a long time being identified as the executive director at the Pregnancy Service Center, I felt like I lost my title, my definition. Some of us know that feeling from after we retire from our job or after our kids grow up and leave the nest. We begin to wonder, what is my purpose? Who really am I? Well, Scripture says that if we believe, as I said, in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God loved us so much, John 3:16, right? Let's all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So there it is. If you believe in God, then you have become part of the family of God, promised eternal life in heaven. And you are now a child of God. Is that right? This is what Scripture tells us over and over. So my title, my answer, your title, your answer is, I'm a Christ follower, and I go where he sends me. Isn't that simple? It's awesome. Okay, so as we look again at the scripture in Matthew 28, we know that Jesus was talking to his Christ followers, and he told them to go. Well, when somebody tells you to go, the automatic next question is, where? Where do you want me to go? His answer, he said, go into all the nations. Well, that seems a bit broad, doesn't it? Although I thought, wow, that's so cool. I've been looking at this scripture, you know, for the last few weeks, and I see all these countries here. Okay, so we automatically assume, go into all the nations. Well, that's for missionaries, right? That's who God calls to missions, to go out there and to serve abroad. Well, here's what we read in Acts 17, if you want to turn there with me. Acts 17, 26 through 27. It says, God tells us, he made from one man, that's Adam, every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. He, that's God, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries for their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, that he is actually not far from each one of us. So what does that scripture tell us? That God determines where we will go. That he is the one who lays out our boundaries. Is that not what we see? So your mission field is wherever God sends you. So now when people say, oh, what do you do? What have you been up to? I say, well, I'm a Christ follower, so I just listen for him, and wherever he sends me, that's where I go, and that's what I do. What would it really look like if each day we got up and we recognized, I am a Christ follower, I am a child of God, and I'm going to share him with whoever it is that he places in my life today? What would that look like? Missionaries, right here on the home field. Wouldn't that be awesome? So sometimes he does call us to go abroad. I have gone to Africa 3 times since I left the Pregnancy Service Center. Whew, I thought that was an intense ministry. Whew, going to Africa is an intense trip. But it's awesome to be able to go over there and to see the same God right here is right over there in Uganda, Africa, where I've gone. According to the scriptures, we're all missionaries. I'm going to read for you John 17, 15, 14 through 15. This is Jesus talking to his followers. He says, and he's actually talking to God about his followers in John 17. That's that passage where God is, you know, Jesus is talking to his Father. And he's saying, you know, God, Father God, that's not in the Bible. I added that part, sorry. He says, I have given them, your followers, your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. This is not our home. So if this is not our home, what would that make us? Missionaries, right? This is not our world. Just as I am not of the world, that's Jesus, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Huh. I'm liking this. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that we're ambassadors. Well, what's the definition of an ambassador? Someone who represents their country, their nation, in another country. So our home is heaven, right? And God has sent us here to earth to disciple, to teach others, to follow all that he has commanded. I think it's important for us to look at verse 20 together. Verse 20 says, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, remember this is Jesus talking, I am with you for how long? Always, to the end of the age. That's right. What comfort that brings us. That verse there tells me 2 things. It tells me that God promises that he will be with us as we go and as we reconcile. So we're not doing it in our own strength. Most people say for evangelism, they say, well, why is it hard for you to share the gospel with somebody else? Most of us say, well, I feel like I don't know enough. I'm afraid I won't say the right thing. All of those. But guess what? If you're a Christ follower, Galatians, Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20 that it's no longer I who live. It's not you anymore. It's now Christ in me who lives. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in me. So when I'm presented with the opportunity to share Jesus and the gospel with another, I just quietly say, okay, God, help me to know what I need to say in this instance. And he's faithful every time. Okay, so guess what? When we live the Great Commission, there's no end. No end, no retirement for walking out the Great Commission. We don't get to stop that until we walk through the pearly gates. So whether we're retired or whether we're just beginning out in life, we need to stay in the game. And that's what I want to say today. Every single one of us is valuable and important. We all know others. We all have people on our prayer list that still need to know Jesus. And this is what gives me encouragement and purpose, because I now have taken my eyes off of a title or a job description, and now I see myself in the right position. My mission is to be a Christ follower and to go wherever he sends me. So how are you living out the Great Commission? Well, some of the things that I've been up to since I left the Pregnancy Service Center is spending time with my grandchildren. What a blessing that is. Do you know how important grandparents are? How many of us in here have grandchildren? Let me see them. That's right. Almost every hand went up here. Okay? And a lot of us have spiritual grandchildren, right? Little children running around in your neighborhood? Well, just adopt them. Just make them your grandkids. And when I went to Africa, this is what they called me, Jaja Tina, which means Grandma Tina. So I had hundreds of grandchildren now as I was in Africa. When at KJIL, we actually give away scholarships every year to high school seniors. And I've had the opportunity to serve on the review committee of the scholarship applications. You wouldn't believe how many children, how many students write on their application when we ask the question, share your Christian testimony with us. They begin by sharing, my grandparents took me to church. My grandparents inspired my faith. Grandparents are so important, so important. We can pray. Tom and I try to nightly pray for our children, and we pray the scriptures out of Ephesians, from Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's like 14 through 20. It's the very end of Ephesians chapter 2, that God would open the eyes of their understanding, that they might know the hope of their calling and his love, how deep and wide and high is the love of God. These are the things that we pray for our grandchildren. You know, God does promise us in Isaiah that his word will never return to him void, but it will accomplish what he sent it for. So when we pray the word of God over our grandchildren, we have full confidence God is working. Let's see here. Oh, I've been involved in teaching Bible studies. I've recently gone back with the Gideons to the jail, to jail ministry here. I go to jail every Thursday. Every Thursday I go to jail. I call my husband up. I'm going to jail now. Pray for me. Anyway, it's a blessing to be able to go in. It's sad. It's heartbreaking to see the women that are in our jail right here. You know, am I pointing the right direction? Nope. That way. It's really hard to see and to hear their stories. But I'll tell you what, those women are hungry for hope. And so Kathy Cosby and I go in there. Does anybody know Kathy Cosby? Okay, Kathy Cosby is a retired police officer here from Dickinson County. And so when we go in, we actually go right into the cell. So we sit in the cell with the women. I've not ever been to jail before, and so it's a little, you know, frightening kind of. And we go in the cell with the women, and the guard locks us in there. And the new jail, I'm thankful to say, has a table in there that we can sit at. Before the old jail, we had to hunker down on their bunk beds with them. It was really uncomfortable. Anyway, so one day I said to Kathy, I said, hey, Kathy, Okay, I confess I must watch too much TV because of this question I asked. I said, do you think if one of the women decided to take us hostage and bust out of here, you would know how to defend, take them down? And she said, oh, yeah. So I said, okay, I feel better now, Kathy. But I know God would protect us. Anyway, so I've been spending time going in there, and we just started back about maybe 6 weeks ago, and already four women have given their life to Jesus. See? Praise God. Go where he sends you. What else have I been doing? Yes, I've been doing women's ministry at our church, and I still volunteer at the Pregnancy Service Center. I still have the opportunity to do some things with them. I go into the schools, and I share about the services that Pregnancy Service Center provides. It's a great ministry. They're doing really well over there, continuing to do their ministry. They are hiring for some positions. Remember the mobile unit, the RV that used to come to town that I'm sure I talked about before? It's kind of been grounded since COVID 2020, but now they're ready to get up and go again, but they need a mobile manager. So would you pray that they would find someone? Okay, and this is my fun part. I actually get to serve at the radio station. One day I was driving my car, you know, and I was like, listening to KJIL. I love music. Anybody else love music? Love music. And I love listening to our local radio Christian radio channel for two reasons. One, life-giving words, you know, pointing me to the Lord, building my hope and increasing my faith. And the second reason is it helps me to feel connected to my community, to hear what's happening around, because we make, you know, announcements of what's going on in the community. So I'm driving the car and I'm saying, oh, Lord, I wonder what it's like to be in radio. That'd be interesting. Well, I go to Emmanuel Church, and Linda Emig, who's our morning announcer, attends Emmanuel with me, and I sat down at the table beside her. It was a Wednesday evening. We had a meal, and she said, do you need a little part-time job? And I went, oh, are you kidding? I just talked to God about what it would take to work in radio. So anyway, I prayed about it. I'm not actually on the air that much. I make some little announcements, but mostly I'm behind the scenes doing data entry. In the morning, we have our morning show at 6, from 6 to 9 a.m. with Michael, Delvin, and Blake in the morning, and I run the board. Our main station is out in Meade. You might already know that because I know Mark's been here before. But the main station is in Meade, and God sent us to start a station here in Abilene that reaches more into north central Kansas. And so when the Meade guys are doing the morning show, we're connecting with them through satellite. But when we go to break, we don't want to really hear what's happening out in western Kansas. We want to hear what's happening here. So somebody physically needs to turn down the satellite and then turn up our satellite here so you can hear. Anyway, that's what I do in the mornings. I do this a lot. So when you hear half a song get cut off or something, that's me. I enjoy being at KJIL. You know, you wouldn't have thought that KJIL is a ministry. I honestly have to confess to you that I went like, well, Lord, you know, I really like to be with the people, like more directly sharing you. And guess what? We've had plenty of opportunities to do that. In fact, one day we got a text message. And the text message was from a lady, and she said, I don't know how much longer I can hold on. I'm driving around looking for a place to end my life. What? Text message at a radio station? So we immediately began to pray and correspond back and forth with her. Hold on, there's hope. Why would she have texted KJIL? She must have had the radio on or heard it before our number, but somehow or another, God laid it on her heart at that moment in time to reach out to KJIL. And there we got to minister to her through the power of Christ. And we were able to find her location through, you know, GPS tracker, all that stuff. We were able to find her location and send help for her. And that was several months ago, and we still get a text from her once in a while, you know, to say thank you for being there. Numbers of times I run into people in the community, and when I say, oh, I'm serving over at KJIL a little bit, people say, oh, you just wouldn't believe. I could be having the worst day, or I had the worst day one day, and I got in my car and turned on the radio, and there was just the right song, just what I needed to hear. Yeah. So KJIL, we go into homes and we go into businesses, cars, and communities, taking the hope and the love of Jesus through the airways and even the internet. You may have heard, if you listen, we have an announcement on there now of a truck driver. It's a great. He called in and he said, "I just want to tell you that I got the KJIL on my cell phone on an online app. And I'm taking you everywhere I go, Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska." And we're like, that is so awesome. It does. It takes a whole family to accomplish what God is calling us to, the Great Commission. So wherever you're at, whatever you're doing in life, whatever season it is, would you be a Christ follower and fulfill the Great Commission? I'm going to close with one more little story. You know, I'm getting a little bit older, okay? I know some of you are looking at me going, what is she complaining about? But you all look great. But I am getting older. It's a reality. Every one of us. We're older today than we were yesterday, right? So I found myself kind of grumping a little bit. And I'm like, you know, Lord, why does music have to be so loud in church? Why does the lights have to be so dim in here? And I can't even figure out how to use the technology anymore. And then I was like, oh no, I'm crossing over into the old people side. I'm becoming one of the old people. And I was like, oh. But then I quickly remembered a dear woman from our church who's now, she's fulfilled the Great Commission and she's passed through the pearly gates, Harriet Zernico. How many of you knew Harriet Zernico? A dear woman, Harriet Zernico, if you knew her, she was a mover and a shaker. Like, she did not sit on the bench. She kept going until God called her home. Well, Harriet had was involved with a group that we used to have at our church called Extra Years of Zest. Some of you might have been involved with it. And one day I said, Harriet, I wish I could be a little fly on the wall in the room when you all are in the room together. All you seniors, I mean people that, you know, are attending the University of Life, okay? So they're the senior people with white hair and, you know, anyway, retired community. And I wanted to be in that room. And she said, oh, you young people don't want to hear anything us old people have to say. And it broke my heart. And I thought, well, she's right. When we're young, we think we know it all, right? So we don't need anybody to tell us anything. And that's a sad, sad thing in that we have that kind of mindset. But the other thing is that I thought, no, Harriet, you have so much to offer me. And so my other younger people, you know, younger people, you have so much to offer, so much wisdom that you've gained through life. The Bible tells us. Older women, you know, train up the younger, and older men do likewise, train up the younger. And so it broke my heart, and I thought, well, I want to be like Harriet. I want to be a mover and a shaker. I don't want to sit on the bench waiting my time out. I want to stay in the game until he calls me home. And that's my challenge to you today. Will we be more intentional to listen and to go wherever he sends us and to believe that we are Christ followers and that God has a purpose for us? And that purpose is that we would reconcile the world to him. There, each of us is called to share our time and our talents and our treasures. The Great Commission is a lifelong challenge. What difference will you make in your world today, in your mission field where God sends you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have called each one of us, Lord. God, you know us. You know us by name. You know where you have placed us to be. And so, Lord, some of us have moved around many times, and some of us have never left Abilene. But, God, this is the mission field that you laid out before us. And, Lord, I think about the number of people, Lord. There's a big statistic of people that are not in a church, that don't know you, that attend, that live right here in Dickinson County. So, Lord, there's a big mission field in front of us, and I pray that we would be intentional to share you, your love, and your truth, and your ways with anybody that you bring across our path, whether it be through words or through actions. Lord, use us. We are your people, and we stand ready saying, here we are, Lord, send us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you.